The president of the Central Asian Republic of Uzbekistan, Islam Karimov, is flying to the eastern city of Andijan, where armed men have stormed a prison, freeing everyone inside. Crowds have taken to the main square, demanding greater freedom, and there are reports that some police have been taken hostage. Our correspondent Monica Whitlock reports from the capital, Tashkent.
Around 2,000 demonstrators have filled the square since early morning. They're calling over and over again for freedom and justice and have occupied the mayor's office. The crowd stayed solid, even when snipers fired shots from nearby rooftops, injuring perhaps 10 people. Troops have now surrounded the square, but there's been no outright assault on the demonstration. The day's dramatic events began at midnight, when around 100 armed men stormed the city jail, releasing hundreds of inmates. The tensions in Andijan have been building up for years. There is poverty, unemployment, and frustration at the lack of opportunity for the young. Very many young local men have been rounded up in government sweeps and put in jail, accused of belonging to Islamic groups. Once inside, many say they are badly treated.
Democrats in Washington have called on President Bush to withdraw his nomination of John Bolton to be America's next ambassador to the United Nations. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee last night failed to endorse the nomination and instead referred it to the full Senate. The family of the murdered Belfast man Robert McCartney say police have warned them about threats to burn them out of their homes. The victim's sisters and partner believe IRA members were behind his killing, and they've secured financial backing from the European Parliament to pursue civil action against the suspects. The number of cases of mumps is rocketing. New figures show that nearly 30,000 people caught mumps in England and Wales in the first 4 months of this year, compared with only about 2,000 in the same period in 2004. Ethna McMahon of Guy's and St Thomas's Hospital told this programme that those most at risk appear to be people who are too old to have been given the MMR jab when they were children.
The age group who are affected by the epidemic are those children who were just too old at that time to get the vaccine. So children born in 1987 would have got the vaccine. So we're talking about children who just missed that. And the thing about it is that normally children would just acquire mumps before the activity was reduced, but there was less mumps circulating, so they didn't get mumps. And then they hadn't been vaccinated, so they're vulnerable.
The government's hopes of reaching a deal on climate change at the G8 summit at Gleneagles this summer have suffered a blow. President Bush's chief negotiator on the issue, Harlan Watson, has told this programme that the Americans won't agree to two of Tony Blair's main aims. Mr. Watson says the science does not show a need for urgent action on the environment. The US will not sign up to a new international agreement on cutting emissions. A possible effect of climate change has been discovered by scientists studying fish in the North Sea. They've found that many species are steadily moving northwards. Here's our environment correspondent, Richard Black. We don't seem to be able to bring you that report at the moment. Let's move on to the next story. British Airways has nearly doubled its annual pre-tax profits. They've risen to £415 million, compared with £230 million the year before. The airline's chief executive, Rod Eddington, who's stepping down later this year, said he was happy with the figures, but he told us that rising fuel costs would continue to pose a problem.
Fuel prices are at an all-time high, and I think that's clearly going to be a real issue for the industry globally. We need to continue to do all we can to reduce our employment costs, but we're also investing in our product portfolio and our people, because clearly there are some revenue opportunities for us, and the numbers out today reflect that.
A deadline for offers to revive car making at the Rover plant in Longbridge will expire today. The administrators running the company say that unless detailed and well-financed proposals are made, they'll start selling off the production lines and other assets. Here's our business correspondent, Nils Blythe.
Reviving car making at Longbridge has attracted interest from as far away as Iran and Russia, but so far that interest hasn't led to workable proposals, and in the absence of a well-funded offer, the administrators will soon move to the next stage of their task, selling off the hardware. The Shanghai Automotive Industry Corporation is believed to want the engine production line to advance its plans to build Rovers in China. And the Shanghai companies also asked a Midlands consultancy to work on car development. That could create over 100 jobs, for which some Rover engineers would be well qualified. But the faint hopes of car making returning to Longbridge are fading.